because he was standing on holy ground, as he would say. Don't ask me to take my shoes off because I'm not sure that my socks match this morning. But we appreciate you, brother. Did a great job on that song. I want you to find Luke, the 9th chapter, with me this morning. We're going to be looking at verse 23, and I want you to look at the screen this morning as well. I've got the chapter and verse up there. But in the screen, we have the title of the sermon, the title of the message, and it's simply a question. Fan our follower. Now, I want us to consider the definitions of both those words. They're words that are familiar to us in our society, and I want us to consider them as nouns today. If you look up the definition of fan, it will say enthusiastic admirer. If you look up the definition for follower, it will say this, imitator. That's a drastic difference, isn't it? Somewhere we have lost really the distinction of those words. I believe we've done that. Here's what I know about myself, and probably this is true of you as well. It's much easier to be a fan than it is a follower. Now, last Monday was supposedly a great day in Cincinnati sports history because the Bengals and the Reds were playing almost simultaneously. I found myself being more of a fan than a follower of the Bengals. Remember the game? If any of you watched it, it was pretty traumatic if you were a fan. And Brenda remembers me yelling at the TV like they could hear me and saying, I don't know why I'm watching this, and soon found myself watching something else. Now, most fans will seek to identify themselves in some way. So I brought a couple items this morning for you to look at. Now, someone will recognize that, won't they? What is that? Boo. There was one boo. I tell you, I almost lost my job here as pastor because I spoke against UK. There's some fans that are really, some really big fans out there, UK. And I have a Reds license apparel pullover here this morning as well. And I dug this out of Pastor Matt's office. Does anybody know what that is? That's a Cleveland Brown football, yeah. Boo, boo, boo. But, you know, we buy the t-shirts, we buy the jerseys, don't we? Now, on the screen this morning, I wanted to show you some other things. I tried to dig this one picture up that I have, and I'll talk about in a minute here. I'll talk about it right now before we look at that. Brenda and I was in Florida a few years back, and we saw this bumper sticker, and it simply said this. It says, this truck bought by my inheritance from my dead mother. Thanks, Mom. That was a bumper sticker somebody had on their vehicle, their truck. And it was a nice truck, by the way. Remember that, Brenda? Big signs on the back. So here's one here. I like this one, by the way. That is a magnet that you can put on your car. Reds. It's obviously the arm catching, you know, showing the ball there. Go to the next one. Now, everybody probably knows what that is. That's obviously a bangle. That's also a magnet thing. Does anybody got these magnets on their car? All right. Here's another one. Now, this is the back of my pickup truck. Okay. Brenda says I have an identity crisis. Okay, so let's talk. Let me have a little therapy this morning with my back of my pickup truck. You see the Ranger. That's a boat, by the way. It's a boat company. Then over to the left there is Mojo Bass. That's a brand of fishing rods that I have. See a Ducks Unlimited down the far corner, Netcraft. Then there's the Browning Buck Mark over there on the right-hand side top of it. Then Matthew Solo Cam. K&N filter, anybody a gearhead out there, you know that that's the best air filter in the world that you can put on a vehicle. And right below that, I have the ichthus. The ichthus is the Christian symbol that some of us wear. Actually, the word ichthus is the word for fish, but it's also an acronym for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Jesus Christos Theos Weosotar is the acronym then in the Greek, okay? Does it look like I might have an identity crisis? When we were in Tennessee a couple weeks ago, I saw this pickup truck, sort of like mine, and it had GMC in big white letters across the back of it, and I told her, I said, I want that. She said, you're not getting that. Well, here's what I know about most fans. Most of us, when we look at the jerseys, we look at the shirts, we look at the ball gloves, things of that nature, we can't even begin to mimic the one that we admire. You know, I'm not going to be on the field playing with the Reds. I'm certainly not going to be on the basketball court playing basketball. And even if we have the privilege, and I had the privilege of being down at the new ballpark, being out on the field. I've been on a couple courts where basketball teams have played. Even though we can walk out on those fields, we can walk out on those courts, we cannot even begin to come close to those heroes that we have out there. Here's another thing I know about fans. We can boo the one that we were just cheering for moments ago. Don't we do that as fans? Yelling at the TV, the Bluebirds out, throwing interception, those things happen. But a true follower really is completely different. Go back to the definition. A follower is an imitator. You see, a true follower will do his best to be discipled. He will do his best or her best to be devoted. They will follow no matter what. So wherever the road leads, whatever's going on, regardless of the ups and downs, a follower will be there. We can simply just distill that down to one word, lifestyle. If you're a follower, it usually fleshes out. It will always flesh out to a lifestyle. Now this morning we're going to have a test, and then we want to have a little fun this morning as we go through this before we get into the really serious stuff. But we're going to have a test, and it's going to be on the screen. You look in your bulletin as well in the outline, and I want to see if you recognize some of these acronyms on the screen. I've added one, by the way, that I'm going to discuss a little bit more here. So let's look at the first one, ASAP. What does that mean? Yeah, okay, that's one real familiar. Next one. WWJD. What does that mean? Okay, very good. You're very talented. Let's go to the third one. NP. That's a texting one. No problem. Okay. Now here's one I added in. What does it mean? Yes? Okay. Now, Marcel and I were texting back and forth last week, and he had asked me a question, and I texted him back to the question with the affirmative, why? He texted me back. I should have saved the text. I could have put it on the screen, but he texted me back, do you mean why? He saved the text, Marcel. He's up in the thing there, up in the balcony. He texted me back, do you mean yes as in yes, or why as in why, like a question? Why am I asking this question? All right, here's another one. All right, let me ask. If you know what it is, without saying that you know what it is, I know Matt knows, somebody else. Anybody else? Look, there's a very limited amount of people know what it means. All right, Brian Graham taught me this. Brent did as well, and Matt. What does it mean, Brian, from up there? What you see is what you get. It's an IT term. When you look at a computer screen, what's on the screen is what you're going to get. That's what it is. And by the way, there's a website. If you like to watch games that are not being published on regular TV, you can go to Wiggy Wig's website, and you can watch games that are not... you can watch soccer in England if you want to, for that matter. All right, here's the last one. DTR. Now, if you know what that means, without saying what it means, I want you to stand up. Don't act like you know it and you don't know it. All right. Just a few people. I'm surprised that many young people don't know what that means. All right, take a seat. Thank you. What does that mean? Well, that last one can strike fear in the heart of a young man. He might look at that when he's posed that question. And he might hear it from a young lady who wants to define the relationship. That's what that means. If you have an interest in someone else, but the interest is not overly bubbling over, they might ask you to DTR, define their relationships. It's a very serious thing to think about, and it can make something better, or it can obviously make something worse. It can send people into running, it can send them into hiding, or it can send them in a positive direction. But it is a question, nonetheless, that we do need to ask ourselves, simply define the relationship. So over the next several weeks, I want us all to examine the most important relationship that we have in the world, and that is our relationship with Jesus. Now, I get the fact that some of you may be here, this may be your first date kind of thing, or it may be your second or third date, and you're not really exactly sure what to make of all this. You know, the singing, we had a prayer before we did anything else this morning, and you're just sort of sitting there listening, and maybe you feel that you're not ready for this kind of talk yet. But here's what I believe. I believe that most people in this room really need to have this talk, and I believe that they're ready to have this DTR talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to define the relationship and really find out where we stand with Jesus. So I want us to look at Christ's invitation. You have your Bible, look in Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 23. And let's talk about this. What it really means to be a follower as opposed to being a fan of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said these words, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily." He didn't say sometimes, he said daily, "and follow me." Now, may God bless the reading of his word today. I think many of us hopefully are ready and to welcome this kind of DTR talk, because we are going to ask folks to consider to move to a different level of not of commitment, but as we sung this morning, as surrender. I hope and pray that you're ready to move past just the casual, past the convenient, into something that is a little more devoted. In fact, quite a bit more devoted than what you're moving toward right now. So if you're ready for this talk, and some of you may not be ready for this talk, we need to proceed on. And I want to set this up that Jesus Christ is more than just this nice guy that we all sort of get together and sing about this morning. You might feel that it's nice to come to church. You might feel like it's something to do on the weekends. It's something that you do. It's something that you have friendships in the church with. The coffee can be good during the time of discipleship. I have had several compliments how good the coffee is here. But we want to look at moving past just the idea of being committed to the idea of being surrendered. The idea of really determining the relationship. So let me challenge you not to get anxious in this study, not to get anxious in these messages, or go into a flight or fight kind of response. You do need the DTR. You need to determine the relationship between you and Jesus Christ. So simply, where do you stand with Jesus Christ? Here's how I'd like to ask the question. We're going to go back to this. Are you a fan? Are you a follower of Jesus? Because I really think some of us here are just probably just fans. Some of you are wondering why I'd asked a question like that. And you're right to wonder. Well, here's why. Don't come to too quick of an answer here. I want you to hear me out. We want to get to the place where people that are involved with North Fairfield Baptist Church that are more than just fans. They are more than just an enthusiastic admirer. We're all fans of different things, right? I'm a Reds fan, and I'm sometimes a Bengals fan. Obviously, the back of the truck tells you that I'm a fan of several different things. But the fact of the matter is, we can cheer our team on, we can put on our favorite jersey of our favorite player, but we need to move beyond that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's just not about being a fan of him, it's about being a follower. My concern is that this church has the potential to be a stadium full of just fans. People that will cheer and yell and be happy. But when things aren't where they should be, according to what they think, they're not happy. They're ready to quit. They're ready to leave. See, if you define the fan as someone that's an enthusiastic admirer, then really when you get down to it, Jesus Christ is just not that important to that person. See, we have a tendency to come together once a week and just simply to be fans of Jesus Christ. We meet for Sunday school, we meet for discipleship time, we have this worship time, and we get in our seats, and then we open up the program, and we think, okay, what are they going to sing today? Am I going to like? We applaud at certain times, and we leave somehow at a certain time, and we leave thinking, well, I like that today, or I didn't like that today. We get in the car, we evaluate everything that has went on, and then we give the service either an up, thumbs up, or a thumbs down, and we come back again next week to do it all over again. As they say in sports vernacular, we'll tee it up again next Sunday. I get the fact that some of you are really big fans. And I mean, I know you're really into this whole thing about Jesus Christ to that fan degree. You may know the songs we sing. I watched people sing this morning. Yeah, you know the songs. You may not need any help when I told you to turn to Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 23. You remember those times in sword drills? Does anybody remember the word sword drills? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, I was never really good at it, man, but I tried, you know. They'd tell you to look up like John, the 4th chapter, verse 24. Man, you'd try to find there. And who was the first one to get there? Moved in the first place. And you do that over maybe 10 or 12 verses, and ultimately you have a winner out of that, and somebody was the loser. We're pretty good about ourselves. We feel pretty good about ourselves because we're fans. We're admirers of Christ. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ never cared about fans. He wanted followers of him. So if we're honest with ourselves, we really search our hearts, we begin to define, we'll begin to DTR this relationship. And so there's three simple questions I want us to examine carefully this morning. And the first one is this, and we need to answer this question. Here it is. It's in your bulletin, on the outline. It's also going to be on the screen. Why are you here? That's a legitimate question. If we read through the Gospels, Jesus at different times, different points in his ministry, he would ultimately draw this line in the sand and he would separate the fans from the followers. One of those instances you can find in John, the 6th chapter. It's the story of the loaves and fishes. It's one of Christ's 7 miracles that he performed in the Gospel of John. And out of those 7 miracles, every one of those miracles had a message to us. So he's in the first year of his ministry. It's the height of his ministry. And we read this large crowd, 5,000 men, are following after him, listening to him. But there's something else in the underline, the understory to this, is that he's feeding them as well. So miraculously, he takes these 5 fishes. And by the way, that word fish there means small sardine-like fish. And a few loaves, or 5 loaves and a few fishes, excuse me, I got it backwards there. And he prays for them. And miraculously, out of those came food after food after food. Everyone was full. Then there was 12 baskets left over. Christ began to look around at what was going on, and he came to this realization that, hey, these folks aren't here because they're following me. They're here because they're fans of the miracle. They're here because they're fans of getting fed. He was popular, but he did something that would distinguish people, whether they were fan or followers. Now, make no mistake, out of those 5,000 people there that day, and that was just the men, of course there were women and children there as well, there were followers. But he wanted to make sure that the main reason that they were showing up was just not for the spectacle. They didn't care as much about the teaching, some of them, and the life-changing lessons as he was giving, as seeing the show, seeing him do something miraculous. And I can't imagine what it would be like just to take that little boy's meal, that's what he had there in John 6th chapter, and then all of a sudden, everybody's eating. Everybody's being fed. It just had to be unbelievable. And that's what they were there to watch. So let me ask you, Why are you here today? What is your because? I'm here because why? Is it because you like maybe the fellowship? I don't think that's a bad reason in and of itself, but it's not the real reason you should be here. Are you here because you like some of the music that's going on here? Are you here because you like to chit-chat? Or you like the fact that you can bring your kids to Awana's on Sunday evening and you can leave them and maybe you go off somewhere and have some downtime? Maybe you like it because of that. So what we need to get to is we need to define the relationship here. Look, if you don't have to look. Let me read this verse to you from John the 6th chapter, verse 66. It tells us this. When Jesus began to speak the hard things, here's what the Bible says. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So what I'm preaching here today, I'm not expecting it to bring people in droves to this church. It may separate some of us. Some of us may begin to define the relationship and realize, you know what, that's not what I want. That's one of the things we hope to accomplish in the new members class. We hope to see whether people really want to be fans or they want to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to get to the point where we're defining the relationship. What is your because today? Next reason that we want to look at, if we define why we are here, why you are here, let's look at the second question. Are you all in? Define the relationship. Being a follower of Jesus Christ requires complete surrender, not commitment, surrender. I remember reading from Dr. Adrian Rogers talking about the difference between commitment and surrender. He was talking about being in Kosovo and doing revivals there. And while there, the linguistic expert from the country, a countryman, was with him. And he was asking him, how would we define the word commitment? I'm going to call people to a commitment to Christ in this revival. And the guy said, look, and his English was very good, we don't use that word commitment here. We don't like it. And he says, why is that? He says, because in America, you use the word commitment and people control commitments. When I commit to something, I control it. I'll say when I'll be there. I'll say how much I give. I say when I'm not going to be there. I put parameters around it and I say, okay, I will do this if this happens, but if this happens, it means I will not do that. He said, that's not what following Jesus Christ is about. Following Jesus Christ is about surrender. When we surrender something, we literally throw our hands up and we say, okay, what is it you want? If someone was to walk in here with a gun, and don't do that, by the way, because we have armed people here. But if you walk in here with a gun, I walked up to David, and they held their gun to David and said, okay, this is a stick up. What David's going to do is he's going to throw his hands up, aren't you? Probably. Throw his hands up, and he's going to say, what do you want? And the guy said, well, I want your wallet. So what would you do? I'd give him your wallet, right. Now, what if he said he wants Stacy?
I'd say take me instead.
Take you instead. Well, that's a good man. That's a good man right there. But see what I'm saying? That's surrender. Surrender says, okay, whatever it is that you want, I'm going to give it to you. So when we come to Christ, see, it's not about just what we can control. As Jeff said while he was up here, you know, we're all guilty. We're all very guilty of, okay, I'll do it on this day, but I won't do it on this day. I'll do it with this group. I will not do it with that group. So, if you're a follower, if you're not a follower of Christ, you're just a fan, the options here are just not everywhere. You've got either you're going to follow him, you're going to serve him, Are you just going to continue to be this fan? You see, there's no bargaining. There's no bargaining. There's no bartering. There's no finagling in this. You're either all in or you're not in at all. Fans don't like the idea of going all in. They only like the idea of controlling what they want to do with that commitment. They're not wild about making sacrifices. They haven't really gotten to the place where they say, okay, I'm going to deny myself. No, they don't want to go there because there may be some things that they want. There may be some things that they're still craving. But if you understand that you're all in and you understand what all in means, then it's just very easy to follow, isn't it? For me, realizing that I'm all in just makes all the difference in the world. You got to be in for the right reasons, and you got to be all in. So we've talked about why are you here, and are you all in? And thirdly, this morning, let's look at the last thing. Have you made it your own? Now, this one may hurt a little bit this morning, but it's a reality. Many of us go to church because a parent made us go to church. Can I have an amen? That was like two of you. I know I was made to go to church. That's what happened to me. I was made to go to church. Dad said so. Mom said so. That's where we're at. It wasn't an option. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it was. Or some of us here this morning may have started going because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or maybe our spouse has pressured us into going. So you came because they liked you to come, they expected you to come, and because it really just appeased them. For those of us who have grown up in church or who attended church in order to appease someone else in our life that's significant, it can really be that we're just fans of Jesus Christ. It's like riding with someone in a car. You're going to school, or maybe you're going to work, and you've got a carpool. And that particular person that you're riding with is a Toby Keith fan, okay? Now, anybody a Toby Keith fan out there? Some of the ladies out there? Let me tell you, I'm a Toby Keith fan, but probably for different reasons than you all are, okay? But every morning, you get in the car, Toby Keith. You come home, Toby Keith. Now, maybe you're just not, it's like this. Maybe you're just not that big a Toby Keith fan. You know, you can live with him, you can live without him. But it's okay, but, you know, I'm not really goo-goo over Toby Keith. But after months and months of listening to Toby Keith, on drive time there, drive time back home, now you own a Toby Keith t-shirt, and you have a Toby Keith CD, and you're going to his next concert. You see, that's what can happen to us. We come to church week in, week out. We hear the songs. We get involved in discipleship somewhere. And before we know it, we're fans. We're not followers. Oh, I like this. Oh, I can live with this. It's okay. And we get the t-shirt. We get the CD. But we've never really made it our own. It's not ours. This can happen to us in the church. We keep coming because we're appeasing someone else. We want to get in the flow of things, and we get in the flow of things. We know the songs. We can even recognize some of the stories and the teachings from the scriptures. And we're kind of this fan of Jesus. Let me tell you, that's the most dangerous situation that any of us can be in. Because if your faith isn't your own, and you aren't pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ, you keep coming week after week, and you've created a faith that is someone else's in the first place, you're just numbing yourself to the real thing. See, Christ wants a personal relationship with you. You're comfortable with the songs. There's a few favorite verses you have in the Bible. But none of these things really require sacrifice or any kind of personal change. You've not made the faith your own. Jesus isn't looking for a relationship between you and your mom. He's not looking for a relationship between you and your father. He's looking for a relationship between you and him. So if the relationship is between the Lord Jesus Christ, your wife, and yourself, that's no good. If it's between your Lord Jesus Christ, your mother, your parent, whatever the case may be, and yourself, that's no good. See, Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So it's not about anybody else. Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your friends. It's about you and Jesus. So we need to do this. We've got to move past the fan apparel. We've got to move past the stickers on the back of our vehicles. And we really need to get to the place where we're truly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you today's challenges today, because they're very important for all of us here today. It may look just like what you just saw, but there is a difference to this. Personally, you need to consider why you're here. Why are you here? Have you really, really sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you all in? Are you trying to control your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, I want to challenge you to move past just a commitment to surrender. I give up. I'm here, Lord. Whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I remember very distinctly my first pastor, Brother Jim Roberts, wasn't a very educated man, but his call into the ministry was so over his body, just over his being. And he distinctly would say this. He would say, when the Lord called me to surrender, the first thing I did was I got rid of my fishing rods. That wasn't enough. The next thing that I did, I got rid of my hunting dogs. That wasn't enough. He said he started giving things away, one right after the other, till finally the Lord just said to him, Jim, it's you I want. It's you I want. And so when Brother Jim was ready to go all in, the Lord was ready to go all in to him. So are you all in? Don't worry about giving things up. Giving your whole self to Christ is what you need to do. And thirdly, have you made it your own? See, it's not about, my wife and I grew up in the church. We were married in the church. We held hands in the church. We did a lot of things in the church. But I'm not here because of her. And she's not here because of me. That wouldn't be good. Are you able to say, have you made it your own? I'm going to ask everyone to stand at this time. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. As the team begins to play in a moment or two very softly here, and our counselors assemble into place. Think about those three questions. Why are you here? Are you all in? Have you made it your own? Now, I believe, my friend, you don't have to understand everything there is in the Bible to begin this to say completely, okay, I surrender. I'm giving myself. I don't know what this will look like in a year. I don't know what it'll look like next week. But all I know is that I have to make sure I've given myself completely, wholeheartedly, surrendered myself 100% to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're ready to do that today, I want you to understand there's some counselors in place who can talk to you, share with you from the Word of God how to get that done today. See, it's not about being a fan. It's about being a follower. And Jesus always wanted followers. He didn't want fans. He had a big fan club following around. Churches can have people following around. Pastors can have people following around. But listen, it's about being in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which distinguishes you as a follower, an imitator, as opposed to an enthusiastic admirer. If you're ready to make that decision today, my friend, you come forward at the conclusion of my prayer. You let one of these counselors know that this is what you desire, this is what you want, and they will show you from the Word of God how to get that done today. Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that, Lord, you have ministered through not only the worship music this morning, but we believe through the message. And I hope and pray, Father, that there are many here today that are wanting to move past from fan to follower, that they're going to make a wholehearted surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. For some, that will mean walking forward. For others, Lord, that may mean right from the pew where they're at. They're going to start really drawing the lines, delineating the lines between what it means to be a fan or a follower, and they're going to be that imitator of Christ. We thank you for your word. It's not only able to make us wise in salvation, but it's this lamp that's to our feet, and it can guide us. So we pray that, Father, that people will respond in accordance to your word, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone looking up.